Jesus embodied God and God's truth. He also taught those around him so that they could better understand God, the mission Jesus was on and calling them to, and better understand what relationship with God would mean for their lives. In Mark's gospel, Jesus' closest friends and followers were often confused, and confused for good reason. Jesus talked about God and God's kingdom, God's reign, and what being in right relationship with God looks like. He talked about those things in ways that were so different and so strange and not in keeping with the cultural and religious norms of the day. And yet, there was something about Jesus, what he said, how he said it, how he embodied it. There was truth and power in his words. People kept coming to him, and they still do. Today, we're presented with the story of a man who comes to Jesus seeking answers, or the answer, to life's most important question. Maybe he did not know that it was life's most important question. Perhaps he thought it was primarily about life after death. Jesus teaches the man that eternal life starts in this life, that it is experienced in following the way of Jesus now. This man is rich. In Luke's gospel, he's called a ruler. In Matthew's gospel, he's called young. This is a person who's used to getting what he wants, when he wants it, used to having the resources that he needs to accomplish his goals. He calls Jesus good, and immediately Jesus questions him, "Why do you call me good?" Is Jesus asking what his motives are? And Jesus says, "God alone is good." Perhaps the man thought Jesus would simply confirm that he would inherit eternal life. After all, the man was keeping all the commandments. What more could he do? John Deere, an internationally known voice for peace and nonviolence, who sadly was forced out of the Jesuit order in 2013, but is still a priest, now a priest of the Catholic Diocese of Monterey, California. John Deere wrote a book entitled The Questions of Jesus, challenging ourselves to discover life's great answers. Rather than first answering the man's question about how to inherit eternal life, Jesus asks him why he called him good. And John Deere writes this about that: "Most of us play little mind games to keep God under control. We try to trick ourselves into thinking we can manage God, that we can keep God in a box, that we can keep God at bay. Is the rich young man trying to flatter Jesus? Or does he really believe Jesus is good? Or is he trying to manipulate and control Jesus?" Whatever this man was thinking about Jesus, even if he was sincere, Jesus turns this man's world upside down and inside out, not giving him the answer he expected, which is probably something like, "Yes, excellent, you've kept all the commandments. Eternal life is yours." I bet that's what he thought he was going to hear. But instead, Jesus challenges this man to put all his trust in God in a way that is shocking. John Deere describes the shocking news of the gospel in saying that it is that God cannot be tamed. I love how he puts this. God cannot be tamed. God is not some pet that we can pat on the head periodically through the day saying, "Isn't this nice?" Rather, God is out of control. God is wild. God is beyond us. Jesus' answer must have seemed out of control and wild. "Go, sell what you own, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, the man was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. I can just hear in his mind, "What? Wait a minute, that was not the answer I was expecting." Have you ever been surprised by God like that? At a time of decision or choice, maybe even a crossroads in life, and you hear, you discern God calling you to act in a way or to do something or to not do something, and it comes as a surprise. What is God calling us to do right now that goes against all common sense and the way we're used to living our lives or seeing the world function? The gospel tells us the man went away grieving. Almost everyone who interprets this story says that the man is grieving because he was not willing to give up his money and his possessions. But it could be that he was grieving having to give up his money and his possessions, knowing that he would in order to follow Jesus. We may ask God, where is life for me? As we discern the answer, we may well grieve having to let something go in order to live into the life God is calling us to live now, today, as we move into the future with God. We may grieve letting something go, even if we are excited about following God's call to us. For example, when I discerned that I was not in fact called to give up all my possessions and join a convent, sort of the inverse of that story, I grieved not being able to live that sort of life focused on prayer, silence, monastic community. I grieved it briefly. And then I got to come here, and it all made sense why I was not called to a convent. But one may be called to give up all possessions to follow the way of Jesus, or one might be called to give up an idea of life, an idea of what seems right. And what both things have in common is it's always a call to let go of control. It is the call that we all have to trust in God rather than our own ability to make the world what we want through our power, through our money, through our influence, or through our force of will. Soon we will be promising some of our money to God's ministry through this church, through what we call pledging. And while making a pledge to support the ministry we share is a practical matter, without our pledges, our church would not be here, certainly not in this form. So while it is a practical matter, it is also a spiritual practice, an important one, a powerful one. By giving money away, we demonstrate that money does not rule us, does not rule our lives. We demonstrate that we know we can't control everything through our own resources. That in fact our security and our safety and our ultimate salvation come from God. And everyone has a call in this way and in so many ways. Everyone is important to God. The details, the decisions, the directions we go matter to God and have an impact on not just our lives, but on other lives, on other communities, on our community, impact on the world. What crazy, shocking thing is God calling us to do? It will always cause us to depend on God more. Trust in God's promises to us. What God is calling us to do will have a positive impact on ourselves, on others. Even when it may seem to be just about us, it's always going to help someone else. When Jesus told the disciples that being rich would not get them into heaven, and that in fact having wealth can be a stumbling block to spiritual growth and connection with God, the disciples were shocked. How can this be? It makes it sound impossible. And of course, in those days, and some people still think this, that material success equal good relationship with God. That prosperity gospel we've talked about. That is not what Jesus preached at all. Jesus was clear, yes, this seems impossible, but it's not impossible for God. It's out of your control, Jesus is saying, but it's not out of God's control. As God's children, our call is to live into impossibility. Live into it as best we can. Trusting that God will act to bring about God's reign, and we help with that when we live into impossibility. with all the recent going on, the shootings, the violence in our country, it seems impossible to find a way to end the violence, be that racial or just crazy people with guns on college campuses. When I think about all this gun violence, I wonder what crazy thing God may be inviting us to do to help end this violence. It may seem crazy to many to be a person or a community of peace in a world that seems so scary that the answer to gun violence is to arm everyone, all the time, everywhere, so that we can kill the next disturbed, mentally ill shooter who comes our way. How can that be the answer? I just cannot imagine Jesus giving that as the answer. For many in our country, possessions include guns, probably for some of us here. It's pretty normal. If our country as a whole were to give up guns, what would we be grieving? On this controversial topic, I will say, as I find myself saying often these days, I don't have the answer. I certainly don't, or really even the slightest idea of how to solve this problem. But I do feel that we as a Christian community are called to ask the hard questions and engage in conversation with others about such topics, as we did as a church community 2 years ago for about a year. We considered what our policy would be regarding guns. In the end, we came up with a policy about weapons as a whole, stating, "The presence of weapons on church property is inconsistent with the church's traditional role as a place of peace, safety, and holy sanctuary." The entire policy can be found on our website. As we began that process, some of us thought this would be an easy question. I actually naively did. An easy question for us, but it was not. It was hard, but we worked through it with God's help. With God, it was possible to deal with this question within our community. And there's a start. Jesus asked a lot of questions. Did he always know the answers? Well, since he was working with people who have free will, had and have free will, God's gift to us, Jesus could not have known and does not know now how we will answer. And how we answer matters, since we are God's hands and heart in this world. We've come here today because we know on some level, maybe every level, that we need God. And because we know that God is calling us, we're here knowing that we're supposed to be about something amazing. We are about something amazing, here to share in God's work in the world, and the church helps us do this. We also come here because we love God and want to share with each other that experience of being in God's presence and worshiping God and thanking God for all that God has given us. As well, we are here to ask those hard questions. We're here to listen as the Spirit helps us discern the questions God is asking us, and to listen as individuals and a community for God's call to follow the way of Jesus. Come follow me. I'll conclude with another quotation from John Deere. This one's found at the top of his website. His ministry is primarily about peace as it relates to disarmament. But as we hear these words, we can also think of how allowing God to work with us, to form us, transforms us into those who trust God and seek peace in all ways and seek to follow the way of Jesus. Deere states, "The key to changing the world and pursuing peace and disarmament is to allow the God of peace to disarm our hearts, making us instruments of peace and leading us together on the road of peace." Amen.